Open your minds, because there's going to be a lot of flowing this morning. Pastor Michelle's coming to speak to us for a few minutes about the river of God.
Bakrabaria mana kania no krabaria sako bakrabaria se heko bakrabaria satal bakana kridia sukrabaria se el korbaria sikomana kridia sukrabaria se hema mama krabaria sikrabaria sa habaria sikomana kridia roro krabaria se kobaba kriraria sa e krabaria sa te koba sheko bakriya sa aba bakrabaria sa te kridia sukrabaria sa hama makrabaria sikomana kridia se he krabaria sa te I am calling you. I am calling you. I am calling you to step into what I have been speaking to you individually, to you as a part of this house, a part of this ministry. I am speaking to you and saying it is time. It is time for you to make a decision. It is time for you to get off the fence. It is time for you to stop saying, well, if God shows me this, well, when he does the stuff that he's already said, when? I am a God of right now. If you don't believe what has already been spoken, you won't step into what I have already placed in you. You won't use what you've already got. But I'm telling you, make up your mind. Today is a day when you need to decide what you're going to do, because this house is going to a new level. This house is going to do the impossible. There are people who are going to say, but who are these people? I've told you before, they will be astounded by what this house will do. You're not a big place, but when I start moving and manifesting the word that has already gone forth, people will flock to this place because you're going to have what they need. Not only will you have it, but they will see it. They will believe that they can have what you're already walking in. I'm telling you, make up your mind. What this house is going to, what this house is already walking in, make up your mind. What are you going to do? Don't come Johnny come lately and say, but I want. I'm saying, make up your mind now. Today is the time to make a decision and start walking where the house is going.
I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When your spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. Y'all know that song? I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When your spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. Amen. That one's from way back there. I'm not sure when it got planted, but and I'm not sure we've ever done it together before. He followed pretty good, though, huh? He is pretty good. Did y'all know that God loves you? If you haven't heard it yet today, I just want to remind you, and I want you to hang on to it and remember it, that God loves you, and he cares about everything that pertains to you. Everything that pertains to you. He feels everything that you feel. And he is working on a plan for you. Don't give up. Don't let go. It's never too late. You know, as believers, I'm just going to be honest with you. We're not always on top of things. But the key is to get back on top of things. What do I mean by on top of things? Trusting God and letting go of the care. Sometimes it overwhelms us. Sometimes it surprises us. It jumps on us when we weren't looking, maybe. It happens to all of us. It happens to all of the righteous. We do fall from time to time. Fall doesn't just mean we've committed a heinous sin and something awful has happened and weird stuff is going on. Sometimes it just means for a few minutes there we wondered, God, are you really there? Are you really listening? But we have to choose to believe that his word is true. And he said, I am always there. I will never leave you or forsake you. Even when you're wondering if I'm there, he said, even when you're faithless, I'm still faithful. God is faithful. Trust his love for you. You've seen the saying, when you can't see God's hand, trust his heart. Trust his heart for you that it is good and full of good things, full of blessings. Amen? I just wanted to remind you of that and hang on to it so you can remind yourself later. I have been told that I have a very soothing voice, and subsequently it puts people to sleep sometimes. So I wasn't sure if I should apologize for that or, you know, if I should kind of try to throw some screech in there or what. But anyway, I do have an encouraging word for you today. And I want you to listen to it and to hang on, because the word today is preparation for something that God is doing in us, for something that is coming. Preparation. So I preface that with what I said, because I want you to do whatever you need to do. If you need to bum some gum or mint or something off your neighbor, I want you to stay awake this morning and hear what I have to say. I'm going to try not to keep you long. I had Richard go over my notes with me. We do that a lot. We do pretty much everything together. We kind of work off of each other and brings balance. And I said, it needs to be short in the morning because we have a lot to do. And so he looked through my notes and he said, I think you can do it. And I said, wow, that's a man of faith. That is a man of faith. So on Pastor Richard's faith, I'm not going to keep us long this morning because we have some more things to do. And speaking of God's love for us, I just want to thank those of you who have joined with us when God gave us the commission to love Africa, to love the people of Africa. We have begun on some things that would, to most eyes, look pretty small, but I am in touch with 9 or 10 people every week that through them, the change has begun. Ministering to orphans who are there, ministering to people who have not been in church, the unchurched, people who lost hope and it has been resurrected. We are sending finances back there. We're not waiting. We're not just hoarding it and piling it up, waiting for when we send Brother Kempo and Brother KB back. But there are missions that are already going forth, things that are already being done. And I want you to understand that it's from a heart of love that we do this. And I know, and I've heard some tell me that we're not supposed to do anything out of need or compulsion. And I agree, because we could empty everyone's bank account in this building right here and not make a dent in the needs. Because the need is great in the entire, and just in this city, the need is great. And it can feel almost, sometimes almost a panic feeling. Mothers, you know that feeling in your heart when there's something going on with your kid and you can't do anything about it. And so what do we do with that? We go to God, because he can do everything about it. He can take care of the whole thing. And we say, God, I'm here and I want you to use me where you want me to make a difference. And that's how we know that everything can be covered, because we go from what the head says. Who is the head of the church? Christ. That's where we get our signals from, just like the brain gives a signal to your hand to move it. Almost, you know, without even thinking about it, it happens. And the signal comes from our Redeemer, what he wants us to do and where he wants us to put it. Where does he want us to sow? Where does he want us to give to be a blessing? And God has said this house will love Africa. Now, we give to many countries. We support missions and missionaries in Mexico, in Honduras, in India, and Pakistan. And we have some other ministries that we support in Uganda and Rwanda. Seems like there's one other place in Africa. But God has specifically called us to start with, for this house, ministry in Botswana. And then Kenya. And I don't know where he's going to take us after that. And I want you, we remember that we don't give out of need. But I want you to also remember that God said, don't withhold those that are good. Don't withhold that from them that you can give. He said, do good to the household of faith. We are sending money to the household of faith in Africa and being a blessing and giving and loving them. And James, when he was saying, you show me your faith without your works, I'm going to show you my faith by my works. He wasn't talking specifically right there, although it applies. He wasn't talking about getting up off of your sick bed and doing something. What would you do if you were healed? He was talking about giving to your neighbor who's in need. Africa is our neighbor. And we have an opportunity to be a blessing. And I've just got to say that this, our change jar up here looks kind of sad. We've had a few people giving there, but I think maybe we forget about it sometimes. But even if you just have some change, it's making a difference if you put it there. And I'm talking to people almost daily that are seeing miracles. How many of you ladies are on our chat that we have, Women of the House? If you would like to be on our Women of the House prayer group, we do it through WhatsApp, and I'd be happy to send you to somebody to show you how to set it up. I got on it, and I'm good, but we just share prayer requests and things, and someone shared a request from Africa. Someone had been diagnosed with cancer, and they were in the hospital fighting for their life, and we prayed. We agreed. Several ladies decreed on there, and we got the report back. It said they did the test again, and they couldn't find any cancer. I don't think that's a coincidence. God is moving and God is using us. And I am so thankful that he would choose me. Are you thankful that he would choose you to be a blessing to someone else? What an awesome opportunity we have. Amen? All right. Well, let's jump into the message. I'm excited about it today. Did you notice anything different up here? Anybody notice? Waterfall. Yes. We're talking today about the river of God. And so I just wanted something to remind you of it visually. And I don't know, maybe we'll leave it up there for a while. We'll see. But the river of God, that's what we're going to talk about today. So let me jump in and see how fast I can get through this preparation that we're talking about. God is preparing us. So we're going to start off in John chapter 7. John 7, starting in verse 37. To set the stage, this is the word says it was the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, which I think may be going on right now or maybe just be finishing, I'm not sure. But the Feast of Tabernacles is where they would have a seven-day holiday, basically camping out. They had a specific way that they would build a tent, and they would camp out, I don't know, front yard, backyard, parks. I'm not sure exactly how they did it. But it was a time to celebrate how God took care of them in the wilderness. Remember, it said that their shoes didn't wear out. Their clothes didn't wear out. They had the cloud by day and the fire by night. They had protection. They had provision. God satisfied those things. And so the Feast of Tabernacles is when they celebrate the tenting, as they would call it, in the wilderness, what they lived in for 40 years. So it's the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, and verse 37, on the final and most important day of the feast, Jesus stood and he cried out in a loud voice, "If any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." In verse 38, "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, from his innermost being shall flow continuously springs and rivers of living water." Verse 39, but he was speaking here of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were afterward to receive. For the Holy Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus was not yet glorified or raised to honor, it says here in the Amplified. So Jesus stands up and he makes some offers to the people here on the last day of this feast. And first of all, he says, "I have what you need. If you are thirsty, you can come to me and drink." Now, he didn't say, if you are thirsty, if you will get on your knees and repent and cry and hope and wish, and if you get clean enough and if you can straighten up your life, maybe I'll give you a little bit of a drink. There was no qualification on it. These people were not saved. There was no sacrifice for that yet. I have heard people say they don't like to do outreach because they really can't minister to people until they get saved. You really can't receive anything from Jesus until you get cleaned up and get saved. He's not going to heal you until you get saved. Healing is the children's bread. But Jesus said, if you're thirsty, if you have a need, do you have a need? You qualify for an answer. How beautiful is that? There is nothing that you have to do to get ready to receive from Jesus. He made it very plain right there. Amen? So there were no qualifiers on that. So the next time your coworker says, "I have a headache," guess what? You can pray for him. You don't have to lead him through the sinner's prayer first. Just share the love of Jesus. That's what he did. And that's what he asked us to do. I'm getting ahead of myself. Second, he says, if you believe in me, then you can have what I have. Rivers of living water that flow. Ah, here's another level. If you believe in me, if you believe in him who sent me, if you believe in the works that I do, if you put your faith and your trust in me, then this will flow through you. There's a qualifier this time. It works by faith. Everything that we do in God works off of faith, trusting in his word and what he has said. So let me go through a little bit more here before I get ahead of myself. Two things here. First of all, it says later, in verse 39, we read that. It said he was talking about the rivers of living water flowing. The river that we've depicted here today was speaking of the Holy Spirit. You often see water in the Bible talking about the Holy Spirit, speaking of the flow of the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. So he was talking about the Holy Spirit. So there's two things here. When we need something, we can receive from that river. But when we believe on Christ, we can be the river. Okay? That is my challenge to you today, and I want to go through this, and let's learn a little bit more about that. So we receive the work of the river, and the river waters what is around us. We receive of that. It's like on the outside. You know, Jesus said you have the Spirit with you, but later on he will be in you. But, you know, when we come to him, we're receiving the stuff on the outside. Isaiah 12:3 says, "With joy you will draw water from the springs of salvation." Drawing water. What are the springs of salvation? What is salvation? Health, safety, soundness, wholeness, and deliverance. When we draw on that water, we receive those things with joy. Sometimes we have to remind ourselves with joy. We can forget about that part. Sometimes we feel like we're dragging up to the well. We're so thirsty, so thirsty. But he says, with joy, you can draw on the salvation. Amen? Isaiah 35:6 says, then the lame will leap like a deer, and the mute tongue will shout for joy, for waters will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. How many of you have had a desert in 2020 that needed some water? Maybe one or two, maybe 5 or 10 million. The water is there. The water is available. Isaiah 58:11, the Lord will always guide you. He will satisfy you in a sun-scorched land and strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. God wants us well-watered. Anything that we lack, anything that we need, He wants us to come to Him, to come to His Word, to draw on the anointing to see those things satisfied. So many times we sit and we try to figure out, what can I do? What can I do? I'm the first. I'm probably the most guilty in the whole place. I'll be transparent. But God always reminds me. He never fails to say, look, I already figured this out. I already saw the desert before you walked in on it. You thought you were opening the door to a room full of beautiful foliage and flowers and glorious and wonderful things. And you said, what? A desert? And God said, opportunity. We said crisis, and God said, opportunity. Will you let me water those places? God wants to do that for us. Isaiah 44:3, I will pour water on the thirsty land and currents on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your descendants and my blessing on your offspring. If y'all want to hear a praise report, just come ask me later what happened to Lauren. Just come ask me, because I am full and I am so excited about what God is doing in her. I am watching it happen. Tara, we're watching it happen. Miss Jerry, Tammy, I don't know where you are, Tammy. We're watching God pour out on our offspring. Offspring that the enemy said couldn't be born. Oh my goodness, some of you newcomers need to hear. Ask Tammy about carrying those kids that the doctor said you can't carry a child full term. There's no way. Way. Two ways, because God is watering her descendants. I think He pours a little more on William than He does on some others, because he just keeps growing, getting taller and taller. But God wants to pour that out on our offspring. Isaiah 55:1 says, come, all of you who thirst, come to the waters, you without money, come by and eat. Without money. Come by and eat. What does it take to come and buy? Do you have a need? How's that for currency? Here's my need. I'm going to use this, and I'm going to buy the things that I need, wine and milk, without money and without cost. The need has already been supplied. So we can be thankful for what God has done for us, what He continues to do within us that is for us. But I want you to understand that when we're talking about the river of God, we're talking about levels, okay? Levels, depths, heights. Things should progress. As we grow in God, we should grow in the river, in the flow. Most people receive a single work of the river or of the Holy Spirit, and that's salvation. They come and they're worried about eternity and they feel depressed because of things that they've done and they find burdens lifted and they've got their fire insurance and they're good. And you may or may not see them in church again. They gave their life to God. God loves them, but they're not growing in the river. And some people will advance even to receiving the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They receive that ability to flow and praying in the Spirit, and they're good. I'm happy with that. I received it. I heard about it. That's cool. If God needs me to do something with it, He can shake me and kick me. But, you know, I'm happy. I'm fine right here. But we need to learn to draw on that flow and the anointing to minister in our areas. Just as Jesus said we could come to him and receive the living water, now we draw on it. We come to the assembly and we draw on what God puts in the ministers. I don't know about you, but when the men of God come up here, when women of God come up here and speak, and they're sharing from the Word of God, I draw. I put a demand on the anointing. Oh, they're just taking the offering. They're sharing the Word of God. Oh, they're just doing that segue between the music and the offering. No, Brother Brian is sharing from the heart of God, the Word of God. We draw on the anointing from those ministers. The Word is life to you. Do you understand that? When you hear people sharing the Word, it is life to your flesh. The Word that you are hearing today is doing something to the outside of you as well as the inside of you. That's the work of the Holy Spirit, changing things in us. But we don't have to stop there. He wants us to learn to draw straight from the well. Where is the well? Where's that well? We can draw from one another. I draw from Brother Brian's well when he shares the Word, but guess what? I am a well. Spring up, O well, within my soul, inside of me. God wants us to learn to draw directly on that. And so we learn to draw on his joy, on patience to flow through us. We learn that spending time in the river, in his presence, produces Galatians 5:22. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Some of us need to soak before we drive. Some of us need to soak before the kids get home from school. Some of us need to soak before we go to the relative's house for Thanksgiving, because I need some long-suffering, because I know who's going to be sitting at the table, and I need to be drawing from the well, because what springs forth from my mind is not always suitable to come out through my mouth. We need to draw on that well, to learn how to walk in that gentleness and long-suffering as he flows through us with it. Remember, he said, it's no longer I that live. And I don't do these things in my own strength. I've got something to draw on. What are we drawing on? The well. The river of God. The river of life. So I want to take you through some scriptures just a little bit and explain this, because this is preparation. What I'm about to share with you is where we need to live if we want to make an impact on our city. Is where we need to live if we want to make an impact on our coworkers, on our neighbors, on the people we meet at the grocery store, those that we go to school with, anyone else that we come in contact with. We need to understand this principle to be useful. It's because the enemy is going to make you think that you don't have anything to say. He's going to make you think that you're not the kind of person that lays hands on other people. He's going to make you think that, well, I'm just going to feel really stupid and get tongue-tied. He's going to paint all of these pictures for you, but you need a picture of this bigger than the picture that the enemy tries to draw. The river of God needs to be bigger. So we've talked about in the past few months, we've talked about the rebuilding of the temple. After the Israelites were taken into captivity, God said, I need a house. Haggai said, maybe we should build God a house. And then God said to the heathen king, who was in charge, let my people go build my house. Some of you need to let that sink in. So Cyrus said, your God has told me I need to let you go back and rebuild the temple. So they did. They built the temple. And then they restored the city and they built the walls around it. And they restored the way of worship. And that has been akin to what God has been doing with us in these times that we were sequestered in our homes. In these times when we're wondering what's going on around us, God said, I want you to rebuild the temple, the dwelling place of God. Rebuild the walls, those boundaries, renewing your mind in the Word so that the enemy doesn't get in and mess with the flow of your daily life. So we have a picture of the temple and what they rebuilt within us, because where's the temple? It's in each one of us. The Word says we are the temple of God. So He dwells within us. So I want you to look at some cool things about what happens where God dwells. Zechariah 14:8 says, "And on that day, living water will flow out from Jerusalem, half of it toward the eastern sea and the other half toward the western sea." Where it's talking here, this particular prophecy about Jerusalem, this is where the temple, the dwelling place of God, was in that day. That's what it was talking about. So from the dwelling place of God will flow living water. Psalms 46, verse 4, starting in verse 4, it says, "There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells." God is within her. Within who? Within the city. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. I've seen a lot of people put this on signs and posters, and ladies love it, and they're always in pink and foo-foo. But guys, it's talking about you too, because it's talking about the city of God, the dwelling place of God, the habitation of God. God is there. God is within her, and she will not fall. So we're getting a little closer to it here. Revelations 22. I'm wrapping up, I promise. No, I'm really not. I'm trying. Revelations chapter 22 and verse 1, John says, "Then he showed me the river whose waters give life, sparkling like crystal, flowing out from the throne of God and of the Lamb." So from whence did the waters flow? The throne of God. So we see a pattern there that the waters are flowing from the dwelling place of God. So that gives us some depth to what Jesus said in John chapter 7, that if we believe in Him, which is the process of Him living within us, that river flows through us, out from us, from the presence of God, the Holy Spirit within us. I don't think morning dawns and the throne says, "Wow, how do we have to get this water started?" It's a direct result of the presence of God. It flows. Water flows. Okay? It is a natural force. Water flows. So I want to take you into something that God has had me meditating on for quite a while, and we're just going to take a quick look at it, because I want you to understand that when we take a look at this, we're looking at you. Say, "I'm looking at me." Ezekiel had a vision of a temple that was built. I don't believe it's something that we're supposed to build, because it still had elements of worship that were done away with when Jesus was resurrected. But there was a different element to this one than we saw. Someone suggested maybe this is what they were supposed to build when they rebuilt the temple. Maybe they missed it. I don't know. There was a few people in the Bible that missed it. Not my call. But he had a vision, and it gives us some insight. So I want to start in Ezekiel chapter 47 and verse 1. Ezekiel has been visited by this guide, this angel, this messenger of the Lord. And it says, "Then he, my guide, brought me again to the door of the house of the Lord. And behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the temple." What is the temple? The dwelling place of God. "Waters issued forth toward the east, for the front of the temple was toward the east." And then he talks about different ways that it faced, and I'm not going to go through all of that. But it says, "Then he brought me out by way of the north gate, and we went around outside to the outer gate. It faces east, and waters were running out. And when the man went on with the measuring line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits. I think that's about a third of a mile. 1,000 cubits. And he caused me to pass through the waters, waters that were ankle deep." Now I'm going to call this your introductory experience with God, when the waters are ankle deep. Do you remember that I shared with you a few weeks ago that God showed me when we were here in prayer that there was water flowing here? It was ankle deep. I saw Miss Jerry walking through it. I could hear it, not with these ears, but I could hear it in my spirit. It was sloshing ankle deep. That's when you're bold enough to maybe come down front during praise and worship, even though everybody's looking at you, and you still lift your hands and praise God because you just want more. Because you just want more. Does anybody here want more? How much do you want it? That's your question today. More is available. It's right there. How much do you want it? So let's keep going, starting in verse 4 now. It says, he measured again 1,000 cubits and caused me to pass through the waters, waters that reached to the knees. Getting a little deeper. And again, he measured 1,000 cubits and called me to pass through the waters, and they reached to the loins. So this is water that could even carry you. You could just kind of let go and float. Or you can stay in control. Oh, I don't want to be carried away. I don't want to get carried away. There's a lot of people worried about getting carried away. Guess what? God can handle it. God can handle it if you get a little bit carried away, if you get a little bit in the flesh, if you get a little excited, you get a little noisy, you get a little teary, whatever happens. When the Spirit of God moves, it affects our emotions. Don't kid yourself. It does. We don't let them lead, but we don't have to quiet them down. God's not afraid of a little noise. Carried away in the Spirit. What would that look like? I don't know. I think it's different for all of us. So then, I think we're in verse 5. It says, after he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass through, for the waters had risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over or through. It's only navigable by the anointing. Have you ever been in a river and you got swept away by the current? Oh my goodness, I went tubing in New Braunfels one time. They told me it would be fun. I really wouldn't describe fun that way. I was on my tube and everything was good, and suddenly there was this tiny, it's just a little 2-foot waterfall. I went underwater. My tube went upside down. I couldn't get it off of me, and then the water got deep, and I'm floating, and there's my tube back there, and it's like, okay, what do we do now? And somebody grabbed my hand and pulled me. It was a little scary. It was a little scary because I was out of control. It was probably pretty funny, too, if you were watching, because I kind of freaked out. It wasn't really that deep. But sometimes getting out of our comfort zone, we can call it a crisis or an adventure. Getting out of our comfort zone. Are you willing to let the Holy Spirit take you somewhere, or do you have to be the one to drive all the time? If God knows and he knows what he wants to do, then what if I just close my eyes and float? And when God says speak, I speak. And it doesn't matter if it's the lady in front of me at the grocery store and she's got 42 kids and they're climbing all over the place. God said speak. You know what? I'm going to speak, because guess what? I might be the one to bring some peace and order to this thing, to give her the courage and the hope that she needs that you can live through this. You see, the river knows where you need to go. Do you? Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. So coming to that place where he's in complete control, and he said to me, son of man, have you seen this? What he was saying was, have you considered this? Have you meditated on this? That there are different levels. There is a river that's flowing. And some of it you can navigate fine, and some of it you need to trust in the Holy Spirit to lead you. Have you considered that? And then he brought me back to the bank of the river. And when I returned, behold, on the bank of the river there were many trees on one side and the other. And he said to me, these waters pour out toward the eastern region, and they go down into the Arabah in the Jordan Valley and on into the Dead Sea. You know what the Dead Sea is, right? It has no outlet. So everything that comes in just gets stagnant and stale. Nothing can live in those waters. And he said, when this water enters into the sea of putrid waters, it says in the Amplified, the waters shall be healed and made fresh. The waters will be healed. Do you understand that in the Word of God, often it talks about a sea as people? We talk about a sea of people. Many times when he's talking about the sea's roar, it's the praises of the people of God. Well, this is the Dead Sea. Now, what do you see when you get out every day? What do you see when you watch the news? What do you see when you look at the masses in confusion and fear and worry and concern? There's death there. But he said, where the waters go, they bring healing. Healing. But if you're the source of the water, then how's the water going to get there? If you're the water hose, how's the garden going to get any water? The hose has got to go to the garden. We have to go to the people. And he says, wherever the double river shall go, every living creature which swarms shall live. And there will be a very great number of fish because these waters go there, that the waters of the sea may be healed and made fresh. And I want you to remember this phrase right here in verse 9 of Ezekiel chapter 47. It says, everything shall live wherever the river goes. Wherever the river goes is life. You bring life where you go. You need to see yourself as the life bringer, the life giver. Oh, that was Jesus. Yeah, but what did Jesus say? Everything I did, you can do, and even more. And if you believe on me, you will have this river. He's offering people to drink from the river, from himself. And then he says, you can have that river on the inside of you, and you can administer that living water to other people. Everything lives where the river runs. The fishermen will stand on the banks of the Dead Sea, and they'll spread their nets, and the fish will be of very many kinds. The fishermen, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Oh, but that's a dead sea out there. I don't think anything can live. Yeah, but when you go there, it does. When you go there, the fish will live. What's the symbolism for a fish to live? That is the person coming out of the death and into the life, bringing people from death to life. And it says in verse 11, but its swamps and its marshes will not become wholesome for animal life. As the river subsides, they will be left encrusted with salt and given over to it. Now, I know that we value salt in the New Testament. We're the salt of the earth. But in the Old Testament, when they talked about a place being given over to salt, that meant it was given over to barrenness. There was a time when Abimelech led a group and they conquered this place and got rid of all the inhabitants, and it said they sowed it with salt so that it would not prosper, so that it would be barren. So there are places that are going to receive some of that water. I'll take a little bit of water, but I don't really want to be in the flow. I'm just going to be over here on the edge. I can watch it go by. I see the water, and sometimes when there's a flood, it splashes over here and it's wonderful. But guess what? The life doesn't stay there because there's no flow. Do you understand? When you stop up the flow, barrenness, you're not producing anything. There's no life. There's no flow. There's no river if there's no flow. You can't have a river and it doesn't flow, because by definition of a river, it's a flowing body of water. So if it's not flowing, then there's no life. There is no life. Those who don't flow with the river, who only receive a portion but don't let more continue through, in or out, lukewarm, remember? Jesus said if you're lukewarm, if you're not supplying something that's warm and invigorating or something that's cold and refreshing, if there's no flow, no refreshing, no newness, I got no use for you. I will spew you out That's a violent act. That's a violent act. Those who do not stay in that flow, there is no healing and there is not the life of the river. But in verse 12, he says, on the banks of the river, on both of its sides, there shall grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves shall not fade, nor shall their fruit fail to meet the demand. Each tree shall bring forth new fruit every month. These supernatural qualities being because their waters came from, this is Ezekiel, their waters came from out of the sanctuary. The waters of the presence of God. Who does that remind you of? And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water. His leaf will not fail. We are those trees. We are those trees of righteousness, that our leaves are healing to the nations. Why? Because they're full of the flow of the river. What we produce, the words that we say, the things that we do, when we're in the river, we're bringing healing to people. And somebody comes and you could tell them, you want a piece of me? Because herein is life everlasting. Herein is joy. You need to see yourself as that tree, because when you're in the flow, that supernatural life is there. The waters from the presence of God are supernatural. So I'm just about done. Revelation also talks about that river through the middle of the Broadway of the city. On either side of the river, this is Revelation 22, starting in verse 2. On either side of the river was a tree of life with 12 varieties of fruit, yielding each month its fresh crop. The same thing Ezekiel saw. The fruit borne by these trees and leaves come from the supernatural qualities of the water it draws from, provides healing and food for all. So we need to understand that when we trust in Jesus, when we have gotten saved, as we call it, gotten born again, believe in your heart, confess it with your mouth, the river is there. What is the depth of it? How far do you want to go? How bad do you want to go deeper? Remember, Paul told Timothy, he said, stir up that flow. See, Timothy had been filled with the Holy Spirit and raised with his mom and his grandma, laying hands on him, praying in the Spirit. He probably wondered what was happening sometimes, but there was a deposit being made. The water was flowing over onto the descendant, and now that descendant has grown, and it's Timothy. And he's got a big task at hand. And Paul is leaving him this church at Ephesus. And he's got all of these people talking about him. Christians talking about the pastor, criticizing, causing trouble, culture clash, the Jews, the Greeks, the Gentiles. What do I do with all this stuff? And Paul said, son, you're more than equipped. You are more than equipped to do this. Why? Because you've got a river on the inside of you with all the life that you need for the words that come against you, for the actions that come against you. That river inside of you will lead you to the truth that you need to overcome, because God didn't make you timid. He did not give you a spirit of fear. The Holy Spirit, the river that flows within you, is a river of power and of love and of a sound mind. When you have the river inside of you, it doesn't matter how big the task at hand looks. Imagine the mighty river that flows through you. It is in you now. And like Peter on the day of Pentecost, you know, we watched a lot of blunders with Peter when we looked through the scriptures. A lot of things that he did, and, you know, I will never forsake you. I will never leave you, Lord. I'm going to be right here. But they can't pull me away. And it wasn't even 24 hours, and he was saying, I don't know who that man is. I have no idea. We've watched him go through a lot, through temper. The word tells us that about him. But after the river came on the day of Pentecost, and they tarried and they waited, and when they got in one accord and they were in unity, submitted to the Lord, the river came and flooded him. And what did he do? He stood up in the midst of the learned men. He stood up in the midst of the PhDs and the doctorates and the masters and all of these educated people, and he spoke without notes. Okay? That's big. He had no notes. He had no outline. No, if I ever get the chance to preach, this is what I'm going to say. He never even thought about it. But the river started flowing. And he stood up in front of the people, and he began from the very beginning of time a critical exegesis of Scripture, pointing out every place where the Messiah was mentioned and revealed, and this is it, and this is the time, and if you want in on it, do this. And how many people were saved? 3,000. How's that for an altar call? Can you see yourself in downtown Austin making an altar call and having 3,000? Why not? Why not you? Does the river flow? Does the river decide you're not good enough, but I think I'll flow bigger through you? Rivers just flow. You get in the river gets in you. The river just flows. The only thing that makes the difference is your willingness. What are you willing to do? So I'm challenging you. This is where we have to live, is understanding the river that flows. When we get in the middle of a situation and we need to share Jesus, when somebody says something's hurting and they don't know why, and you have an opportunity, you've got a river of life inside of you, and you're like, should I pray for him? Should I? Maybe when I get home, I'll pray for them. Well, you know what? That's why when we come together, the river is flowing here. You get to practice. You get to practice letting the river flow. Practice not feeling quite so uncomfortable getting your hand up there. Not so uncomfortable saying, Miss Jerry, I don't know, I'm learning, but I think the Holy Spirit said you need to hear this. And you don't even know what it means, and you share it, and all of a sudden tears fall down her face. That's what it's like to flow in the river. I was praying about that river last night, crying out for that flow, and God said, you need to see it like I see it. It's already started, and it can't be stopped. He said, the river, the mighty flow of the river in this house is coming your way, and it cannot be stopped. We don't have to beg. We don't have to plead. We don't have to hope and pray and, oh, what if? And I don't know. God said, oh, it's already started. That's why you need to get in place. You need to get in place because I want to be right here when the abundance is poured out. I want to be ready and willing. So how bad do you want it? You need to ask God, where do you want me? And he may have you in your prayer closet for an hour, for 2 hours, every night. Are you willing? Stir. Stir the gift. Stir the river. How do you stir? Anything that has to do with the anointing. Prayer. Worship. Getting into the word. Getting with someone else to pray. But let the river flow. Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's just let the river flow for a minute or two. Hallelujah. Se kotore be kisede. Se tora makashanda raboso torde kisede de basa rosso to de ashtadi. Ke la manuno kosondore kete adabasore be di sisese. Se tara basa roboshoro kosondore be di asanda barara kosatarraba. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank you, Father, for your anointing. We thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you, Father, that you live in us and you desire to flow out through us. And Father, we choose to say, yes, we will be a channel for the river to flow. We will be a channel for the river to flow. Hallelujah. And we will be in the waters. We will go out into the deep so that you carry us. Yet you carry us, and we flow where you want us to go. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, I just speak over everyone in this sanctuary this morning. I release the power of your Holy Spirit. I thank you, Father God, that every need is met, that everyone that has come today with a need. Yeah. Yeah, if you have a need, I know we've got baptism coming up. We'll get to it in just a few minutes. But if there is a need in your life and you need prayer, get down here as quick as you can, and we will release the river in your life. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'll give you just a half a minute. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for the flow of your Spirit. Thank you, Father, for the flow and the release of your power and of your glory in this place. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. 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 Well, Father, I just thank you that your people are healed, well, and whole. They have everything that they need according to your riches and glory, that they have more than enough. And those watching by live stream, I just speak overflowing abundance to flow on them and in them and through them, that they are touched by your hand this morning, that your anointing has lifted them up and caused them to ride in the high places of your love, of your power, and of your glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, God is good. And we've got some places to go and some things to do and people to see. Right now, we've been talking about rivers and water all day. We're going to go play in the water and allow the Holy Spirit to wash away some things, or the symbolism. I know that if you've been born again, you're already clean. But the symbolism of the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord will keep you. If you're here this morning and you have turned in a application for baptism, you need to change clothes, or you can go ahead and go. And ministers, if you needed to change clothes, those that are going to be assisting, you're free to go. I need to go. If anybody else who hasn't turned in a application, but you feel the tug and you need to be baptized again, you're just going to get wet. I mean, your clothes are going to get wet. The baptism still works. It still happens. And then everybody else, meet us out in the parking lot out here with the horse trough, and we'll get to it. I think it's a high day in the kingdom of God and for the house of the Lord. We've had communion. Now we're going to have baptism. That's the two sacraments of the church or ordinances of the church that has been commanded, and we're going to cover it all. Praise God. We'll see you in the parking lot.